Good evening again and welcome again to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name's Peter Jones. I'm the Deputy Chairman. The Chairman is on holiday and I'll be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we start. If you've got a mobile phone, then please put it in silent mode. And can I ask members of the public gallery to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? On my right are officers from the Planning Department, or a officer from the Planning Department. And on my left, I've got the officers from the Law and Administration Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. There is a table provided in the centre of the room. I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which will be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are, as usual, reminded they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. So anything you say will be recorded. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Policy Framework, Planning Policy Framework and the Local Plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We now move on to the agenda for the evening. The minutes.
Thank you, Chairman. Minutes of the 6th of June as published on the 10th of June.
Okay, and apologies.
Thank you, Chairman. Apologies from the Chairman, as you say, Councillor Gareth Jones, and also from Councillor Pardacey, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you. Any declarations of members' interests or lobbying?
Only the emails to send to you, that probably all.
Yeah, I think everybody did. You didn't read it, though, did you?
So. No.
I'm sorry. You've received. We've all had the same one, I believe. And 5 delegated applications. Are there any delegated?
As published on the website.
On the website. Okay, thank you. Okay, move on to the planning applications. We'll start with 22 35606 FUL 6 Mill Farms Barns, Mill Street, Stone. And I'll ask John to. Oh, beg your pardon. Sorry, that's a good start. Sorry, folks. No, it's all right, put it on. It's a good start, a really good start. I'm glad I'm not recording it now. Yeah, sorry folks, that's the wrong way around. Trying to be so efficient and I'm not working. Okay, start again. So it's application 21-35228 HOU, so the Coppins Church Close Ranton. And again, I'll ask John Holmes if he'll give us a presentation for us.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an application for an extension and alterations to a detached two-storey house in Ranton. The extensions comprise a rear single-storey extension with a flat roof and roof lantern, and an extension to the existing front canopy. The alterations comprise a first floor balcony accessed by new French doors to the side elevation and rendering all new and existing walls. You can see from the screen that Coppins is situated on a corner plot, and the front of the house, which is at the top of the red edge, facing towards the top of the screen, the front of the house faces onto Church Close and the side elevation is to Brook Lane. Ranton is not within the sustainable settlement hierarchy set out in policy SP3 of the Plan for Stafford Borough, and therefore the size criteria under policy C5 is relevant. You'll see from the report that the proposal combined with previous extensions results in a cumulative increase of 76% over the original floor area. However, under policy C5C, the design and appearance of the proposed extension is considered to be proportionate to the type and character of the existing dwelling and the surrounding area. There are not considered to be any residential amenity issues resulting from the proposals, and it's noted on page 7 of the agenda that the balcony provides views towards Church House Farm. But that property is approximately 45 metres away. Church House Farm is. I can't see it here, but it is this property. So it's directly to the left on the screen, the application site. There is no response from the parish council and no representations received from neighbours. It is considered the proposal complies with relevant policies of the plan for Stafford Borough and is recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed on page 9 of the agenda. Looking at the presentation now, it's the aerial plan. And we've got a photo plan that shows seven photographs taken from seven locations. The first of which is the front of the property. So, if you look at the plan that you've got on the agenda on page 10, and you've got the red edge in it, this is effectively looking from the church close downwards. So the projection you can see on the plan is that garage at the front of the property. Second image, the sun's got it a little bit, but this is the side elevation of the property. Taken from Brook Lane. The balcony proposed would be to the side window that you can see just behind the evergreen thing. And that would, the window there would be changed to French doors onto the balcony. Image 3 is a rear view of the property. The proposed single storey extension would effectively infill that corner there where you can see the patio doors, the setback patio doors facing you. This is a photograph taken from the rear of the property, looking towards the front, and it's down the side elevation. So the window that I referred to on the side is the one just to the left of that satellite dish. Image 5 is the neighbouring property to the side, Hillary House. That's the rear elevation of it. And you will see in image 6, you can see the relationship of Hillary House here to the application site. So you're looking over the swimming pool. As I mentioned, the single storey element would be infill between the two storey elements. And then you can see the rear of Hillary House beyond that. And the final view is image 7. So this is looking from the rear of the property over the pool towards the rear garden. What you can see there is the side elevation of the property to the rear. That's called the furs. So, just using the site location plan to explain that, you can see that Hillary House and the Furs are both labelled on that plan, so you can see what their relationship is to the property. Plan 2 shows the existing elevations. Top left is front, bottom left is rear. Then you've got the top right is the side towards Brook Lane, and bottom right is the side towards the neighbouring property, Hillary House. And the proposed elevations, so you've still got the in the same location, front elevation. It's the same apart from it's now shown as rendered rather than brickwork. The lower left is the rear elevation, and you can see the single storey extension now to the right of that. A series of bifold doors is basically what you can see on it, and the roof lantern above. The top right is the side elevation, and you can now see where the balcony would be and the French doors. And then it shows the support for the balcony as well. And then the bottom right, the change on there, apart from the render, etc., is the side of the single story extension, which is just to the left of that, and you can see the triangular shape roof lantern on the top of the flat roof. And this roof plan shows that quite well. So you've got a single story extension top left of the house, and the roof lantern takes up a large part of that area. And then to the right, you can see the extent of the balcony area. And that's the existing roof plan, so just swapping between them. That's existing. That's existing, and it just wants me to go back to the previous one. Okay. Ah, there we go. That's the previous one. And we finished with existing floor plans on plan 6 and proposed floor plans on plan 7. So you can see again the extent of the single story extension and the bifold doors that I mentioned that are onto the rear garden, and then you can also see the extent of the balcony. As I say, Chairman, the application is recommended for approval subject to the conditions on page 9. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. We've had no notification of objectors or supporters on this application, so we ask the ward councillor. Councillor Winnington to speak for up to 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chairman. Branton is actually my local village, and I'm a parish councillor at Branton as well as being the borough councillor. I was approached by one or two residents. Obviously, Ranton's a very small village, but I was approached by one or two residents. The Coppins is quite a big house already, and has always been sort of fairly dominant within the village. And one or two people were concerned about what was going to happen and what impact it would have on the street scene and on the overlooking. The Parish Council actually said that to me, and they were concerned. Since then, they've, as small as the ones of small villages, have said that they're not sure now whether it is a problem or not. So I did let this application call in carry on, because I think it's something that I'd like to hear what the views of the parish, of the committee, if there are any, about this. I was quite surprised to hear that this is 76%. Increase on the size at the moment. It's quite a big jump for, as I say, which was a large house anyway. There has been very little development in Ranton, right or wrongly, I don't know, but we'll see what happens with the local plan forwards. And I think this is quite a good indicator for me and for the parish councillors as to what sort of opinion of the planning committee is of these sort of developments. So I do feel that we've indicated and carry on with the calling. I was concerned about particularly the balcony overlooking, because there are properties all around it, and it's actually encircled by church close. But as John just said, the balcony actually looks out over what was the local farm, so hopefully that won't be a problem. And apart from that, I've really got nothing else to say apart from I would like to hear if there are any thoughts from the committee on this sort of development. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cooper?
Just to clarify, I think Lynox said that it wasn't a 76% increase, it took up 76% of the ground, is that right?
76% increase on the original dwelling, so there's been a number of extensions previous to this, so cumulatively 76%, right. Not 76% on what you can see now.
Sorry, through Chair, that is within dwelling rate, that cabinet.
Well, policy C5C says up to 70% or or if the design and appearance of the proposed extension is considered to be proportionate to the type and character of the existing dwelling and surrounding area. So it gives you scope to approve things that are over 70%.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Councillor Beattie?
And my question is, does that set a precedent? And you've just answered that, so...
No, there's quite a significant number of extensions around the borough that are considered to comply with that and have been approved as such.
I propose we approve these applications.
I'll second. Sorry. Councillor Godfrey, we have a proposal, sir.
Just to clarify, there was no official comments from the parish council.
No.
Okay. It's a modern building, and it's surrounded by modern buildings. It's an extension that, quite frankly, the tide is its full of it, so I say absolutely nothing wrong with it, Chair.
You care to second the proposal? It has been seconded. Councillor Trowbridge?
Sorry, can I just ask one little question about the balcony? Because it still is looking at a property, isn't it? I'm trying to find the picture again. It still is, even if it's a farm, it's still looking at the farmhouse, which is a property. I know balconies are so hard to get. For that reason, the overlooking factor. And I'm on the photo plan, so it's where you've got the number 2 looking in on it.
Yeah, photo plan, let's just get that back up. Yeah.
See your arrow with your number 2. Is that where it is? Is it there?
The balcony is approximately where the number 7 is on the... on the photo plan.
So it is looking directly at the property?
It's looking towards the front of the property. I think there's a difference between the front and the rear garden. The rear gardens tend to be more private, and I think if it was the opposite way round, there would be concerns.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that.
Councillor Cooper?
Yeah, just to thank you, Chair. Just to come back on that comment from Councillor Trowbridge. I initially wondered about the balcony, but I've just done Google Street Scene, and the farm does seem quite a way away. And it is the front, and it is mainly driving in front of it. Plus, there's already a window there anyway. So if somebody wants to sit out and look over the farm, they've got a window to look out of. The balcony is just enabling somebody to sit out. So bizarre.
Okay. So, anybody else like to speak on the subject? We have a proposer and a seconder. We'll simply take a vote on it. All those in favour of the application?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay, thank you very much, Martin.
Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you for bringing this to us. Bringing it to us, Mike. Okay then. Now we move on to the second item on the agenda, which is 22356066FUL, 6 Mill Farm Barns, Mill Street Stone. And again, I'll ask John to give a presentation for us.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a full application for the erection of 1.6 metre high black steel railings fronting onto Red Hill Road. The railings in part replace a 1.8 metre high fence that was refused by a planning committee back in May 2021. The situation with regards to the existing fence was last considered by a planning committee on the 23rd of March this year, when it was resolved that it is expedient to take enforcement action to reduce the height of the fence to 1 metre in height. That is the height at which it would be permitted development. legal services are currently in the process of drafting out an enforcement notice in relation to that. There's one thing I need to correct on page 12 of the agenda. Under 2.0, principle of development at the bottom of the page, in the first paragraph, it should say the application site is located within Stone and not Stafford, and then that is repeated in the following paragraph. I did pick these up on the draft and I changed them, but obviously my changes didn't get saved, so apologies for that. It should say it is within Stone, and therefore it is within the Stone settlement boundary. Since the report was written, two further representations have been received. The most recent on the day the agenda was published. The first one says, I live opposite where you propose to put this eyesore over the fence. I would not want to look at that every day. I strongly oppose this going ahead, as they've already put up a fence that is horrendous, let alone this. The other one says, whilst I have commented that the new design of fence is acceptable, there remain two issues from the previous application that are relevant. One, the fence line should be at the position of the old fence, approximately 800 millimetres further from the road than the newly installed item. And two, the new fence should not obscure the view of vehicles leaving Brookview. The first section should be about 1 metre high and repositioned. See comment one. So as I say, they were written, well, the second one was the day the report was published, so they're not in the actual written agenda. The proposed railings are considered to take a visually unobtrusive appearance and are sympathetic to the conservation area of which the proposal is on the edge. And you will see from the report that the conservation officer raises no objection to the revised scheme. It is considered that the proposal does not harm the setting of the adjacent conservation area and is acceptable on highway safety grounds, and is recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed on page 17 of the agenda. Now, the location of the proposed railings is the red edge, you can see on the screen, and in the aerial view. As you'll see, there are seven photographs, all taken looking towards the fence, broadly from an easterly direction. Just going through those, images 1 and 6 show the extent of the current fencing to be replaced. So if I show you that first. So that's the current fence, approximately 38 metres in length, looking at it from the north. And image 6 is looking at it the other way, from the south. Image 2 shows the extent of the site boundary. Now the proposed railings would come up to where you can see the fence, close to that tree at the, towards the right hand side of the screen. The fence and railing, the fence and gates are not part of this site. So it would finish at where you can see the leftmost fence post of that fence. Images 3, 4 and 7 show part of the existing fence and part of the unfenced area where the railings are proposed. This one is sort of from the southeast looking in a northerly direction. Image 4 is looking the opposite way, towards the southwest. image 7 is another one looking in a northerly direction but a little bit closer to the fence itself. The final image here is image 5, which shows a closer view of the southern part of the existing fence. Plan 1 is a location plan, but I think plan 2 is probably a little bit more helpful. It shows it larger. So say the red area is where the fence is proposed, the blue area is the other land under the applicant's control. This is what's referred to as existing dilapidated cast iron railings. And I think what that is trying to tell you is that with the railings that were there before the fence was erected, the fence that goes, that you've seen the photographs of, that goes part of the way along that boundary. The other is showing cross sections through the land, but not through where the fence is itself. Sorry. And the proposed plan 4, shows the details of the railings that you can see the top right thereof. As I said, Chairman, the application is recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed on page 17. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We have Mr. Large, who wishes to speak. You have 3 minutes, if you sit there, Mr. Large. You have 3 minutes, and we'll let you know when you have 1 minute.
Good evening, my name is Roy Large. I'm a resident of Red Hill Road in Stone, and I've submitted several objections to this application, and I also have been asked to speak on behalf of a number of residents in both Red Hill Road and Mill Farm Barns who object to this application. From our perspective, this application does not really resolve the problems that were raised before. That is the effect of a 90 metre fence, metal fence, and its impact on the conservation area. It fails to address the problem of pedestrian visibility, because although it's an open fence, the type of fence is close coupled, meaning that at most angles it appears as a solid fence. And then probably the most important issue, as far as many of the residents downstream of this flooding area, because it's a zone 1 flood area, is its potential risk of flooding. When the applicant installed its previous fence in April 2019, there's been 4 incidents of flooding, and there's a direct causal link between the installation of this fence and the flooding, 3 of which have caused damage to the properties downstream of that. We understand that the applicant's reasons for this fence are that he wants to improve security and privacy. But in terms of privacy, this is a problem of his own creation, having removed, destroyed 25 metres of existing and quite substantial headroom to install this fence. From the point of view of security, I'm a retired policing professional trained in crime prevention and security matters, and I have never seen this type of fence used to protect.
You've got 1 minute, Mr. Lodge.
Used to protect this land. From the point of view of flooding, there is a serious flood risk which we believe has not been addressed in this planning application. And under government guidelines, this is a zone 1 area which has on 3 or 4 occasions had risk from surface flooding. And we consider that much of the evidence submitted has been subjective rather than the objective evidence of a flood risk assessment. So that's a real concern. And the other thing, the point that we wish to raise, and it's been mentioned on the agenda, is our disquiet that the enforcement notice has not been issued yet, which we find quite perplexing, really, and the reason for it. So those are our three reasons, really.
Time's up, Mr. Lark.
Thank
you. Can wind up.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for that, Mr. Lark. So, Mr. Councillor Fordham, would you like to step up?
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, councillors. This is not an application I intended to bring to committee, but the implications of approving it in its current form are such that I felt I must. Let me start by saying that I have no objections in principle to the proposed railings now that the application has been considerably amended by the Conservation Officer to meet the Conservation Officer's requirements. Though I am, as the previous speaker, far from convinced about the need for the fence. I would, however, advocate that the size, design, and spacing be fixed by condition, which I don't believe they are at the moment. My principal concerns relate to the interaction between this and the previous unauthorised development and the impact on flooding. You will recall there have been three instances of severe flooding of adjacent properties in the last 2 years as a result of the unauthorised close board fencing diverting water flow from its natural path down into Scotch Brook. The cost of repairs have been several tens of thousands of pounds, and that ignores the impact on residents' lives and health. The properties concerned are, as a consequence, on the verge of being uninsurable. As John has said, this committee rejected a retrospective application to regularise the close board fence in May 21. An appeal by the applicants against this decision was dismissed by Her Majesty's Planning Inspectorate in November 21. I'd hope for rapid enforcement action, as it seems to me a priority. As John has said, it came to committee for approval 3 months later at the end of March this year, and we resolved appropriate action be authorised to include all steps, including instigation of court proceedings and any work required to reduce the height of the fencing to 1 metre. That would have rendered the fence useless to its intended purpose and would surely have led to its removal and mitigation of the flood risk. However, the enforcement notice, as you've just heard, is yet to be served. No doubt there are reasons for the delay, but unless this enforcement takes place, there is frankly little incentive for the applicant to replace his close board fencing with the proposed railings, even should you approve this current application this evening. Flooding might therefore continue. Further, there's no condition attached to the officer's recommendation for approval that stipulates that the railings be approved subject to it replacing the close board fence. I'd advocate such a condition. My second issue concerns the fact that the flood risk officer has failed to carry out a flood risk assessment. To be clear, there are regular serious flooding issues on Rudd Hill Road. And as the Environment Agency flood map shows, the water has always found its way across the applicant's land in the area of the fencing, land classified as agricultural land, and down into Scotch Brook. Indeed, the officer stated in December 2020, and I quote, "There must be allowed an unimpeded flow of flood water from Red Hill Road down over the applicant's land and into Scotch Brook. The natural flow routes would need to be considered in relation to any development on the site." In a later submission, the officer stated, "Flooding is known to have happened."
We have 1 minute left, Councillor.
"And is clearly a risk in the future. I would expect the flood risk assessment to assess the impact on the site and on the flood risk elsewhere and specify mitigation." Given these comments, The development should surely require a flood risk assessment, and yet the officer seems to excuse the lack of one on the basis that the land does not lie in the highest level flood zone, despite his own arguments as to risk, that the railings will not worsen conditions, overlooking the obvious fact that you live in a neighbouring and affected property, things could hardly be worse. A flood risk assessment would demonstrate one hopes that the metal railings will cope with the volume of flood water, reveal that the close board fencing must be removed to allow an impeded water flow, and highlight the fact that the applicant has now built a bund 30 to 50 centimetres high, presumably intended to divert flood water back into the road.
The time is up, Councillor.
And just finishing the last paragraph.
Half a sentence.
Half a sentence. And from there into the neighbouring properties.
That sounds like half a sentence. Finish there, Councillor. Oh. Thank you. Right. You've heard the views. Councillor Trowbridge, you'd like to speak?
Yeah, could you bring up Plan 4? I'm trying to make sense of it. And I'm looking at the railings, the proposed railings there, which is, if I remember last time this was in, I suggested, why didn't he go for metal railings? So I'm pleased to see metal railings. I just don't understand how they're attached to nothing, if that's not a wall underneath. Can you see where it's showing the railings? I've zoomed in to try and understand it, and I'm still not. What is it attached to? If you normally have railings like that,
I think that's showing you how it's fixed into the ground.
So it is straight into the ground, so it's not... So water can flow through that, totally.
That there says concrete foundation to new steel posts. So these are some thicker diameter posts here.
So they go into
the ground and concrete around it. So that's ground level.
So water can flow through. So it's concrete. No,
the concrete
is just
under
the surface.
The concrete is a foundation.
Yes.
I think if you don't concrete rate something like that, it will potentially fall over.
Okay, Councillor?
So that answers that question. So water can go through. And then the photo at the bottom, that's with the gravel boards gone now, yes? So the fence that's there at the moment, they have taken the gravel boards away, water can flow through there as well.
The proposal you had last year, which was rejected, before that got to committee, there was a number of to and fro in between the case officer and the lead local flood authority in terms of what was replacing the gravel boards to let some water through. But clearly, railings will let more water through than just a grid at ground level and then the fence above it.
Okay, thank you. I don't see.
Just take Councillor Hood first.
Thank you, Chairman. I think it's a great shame that there isn't one single photograph that shows the depth of the gradient that you actually go down. It's hellishly deep. You couldn't walk down, you could run down it properly. The bund that has been spoken of is considerably high, and the flood water, first of all, it hit the gravel board, now it's going to hit the bund, and unless we set a condition that he has made to take away the bund, which he's built, it's not a natural bund. But then as the time goes on, with the autumn, we've got leaves falling, we've got twigs, etc., the bund is going to get bigger. The first gentleman spoke about the security. But what I can't get my head round, which is really quite comical, if people are trespassing on that land, and they're using it as a cut through to go down into the town, you've got to go through the Scotch Brook, which can be very deep, and I think it would be a very brave person at night who would risk that Scotch Brook. It's quite shallow at the moment, but it can be increasingly deep and quite treacherous to negotiate. This whole thing is us and them. The Coppice is a very large, established council house estate. It's a beautiful estate. Most of the houses look across the Modishill Valley. It's a stunning view. And for someone to try and firstly put up this fence, imagine someone putting that fence around the Swan Hotel in Stafford. It'd go absolutely bonkers, and this is virtually what he's done. And now they're proposing these railings, which are not going to alleviate the flooding because the water will hit the bund and then carry on down the road and go down the drive, the very first drive it comes to, flood those houses and then carry on and flood the houses down at the bottom, which is a real worry. I'm not happy with this at all. I think there should be conditions imposed. One, definitely to remove the bund. There's lots and lots of residents who have spoken to me about this. Obviously, I haven't commented because I kept saying to them, I'm on the planning committee, I can't comment. But the majority of people in those houses on the Coppice are elderly people. They're not in the digital age. So the objections we've received are the ones from those who are capable of objecting. And listening to Mr. Large, he obviously has spoken to residents as well. So I will leave it there for the moment. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Beattie.
I would like to say, Chairman, I absolutely agree with what Councillor Hood says. I know the site a little bit, and I would really worry about the flood risk that there is, and there isn't enough in this report to establish that this fence, which to me is totally out of keeping anyway, is going to make the problem less serious than it is now. I can't understand why a perfectly decent hedge, which is so good for wildlife, has been ripped out anyway, and what on earth purpose this metal fence is going to serve for the community or for the owner of the property themselves. And I agree with all the points that Councillor Hood's made. It's a really worrying application, in my view.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cooper? You grab your hand up. You're waving your glasses.
Sorry, I was showing my glasses, but I think I agree with what people are saying about the removal of the bond, for sure. That seems an obvious one. But how a metal fence then stops water, if there's no bond there, an open metal fence, I don't know. I mean, it's like drain cover in the ground. I see from some of the drawings is quite clearly, I don't know whether there isn't improvements or not to guttering. It's a white section, the curve, to assist with draining, whether new drains have gone in or not. Whether that's been after the flooding or before, I don't know. But looking at the picture as well, down the street towards that one there, down towards the railway station, the railway line, which slopes back towards this as well. So surely that in a sense contributes to the flow of the water in the direction of these houses. I think if there was a substantial hedgerow there before, during the summer, surely that would have blocked the fence and beyond. And this new fence is only, was it 1.6 high, which is to me about chin height. I suspect it's probably less than the previous hedge. So I think my mind is, if flooding is the issue, removal of the bund will save that. It's sad the hedgerow has gone, but this metal fence seems the better option, particularly when you compare it to what's left at the top of the street, which is a horrendous bit of wooden fence, an awful bit of, well, the picture shows at the top end, an awful bit of metal fencing which looks a good 2 metres high or more.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Edgell.
Thank you very much, Chairman. When I just look at that and I think it looks so unfriendly, and putting a metal fence there again, looking so unfriendly, why can't the person that wants to do this put a lovely hedge and a tree and a hedge and a tree, and let's do what we're supposed to be doing at Stafford Borough and making the place look friendly and being more proactive with our eco-environment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Nixon?
Thank you, Chairman. Could we go back to image 6? Is it 6? The one before this? Yes. That's supposed to be a security fence. But if you look at the driveway to the end of it, you could step over that a little bit. I think it's completely pointless as far as security.
I don't think the side fence is the applicant's.
I know it's not the applicant's, but my point is, it's not doing its job as a security fence anyway. And the reason for putting it there is irrelevant. It's over a metre high. It shouldn't be there. Unless it's within, I believe, 1 metre of the footpath. Is that correct?
Sorry, sir.
Anything over a metre high has got to be 1 metre away from the footpath at least.
If it's adjacent to the footpath, permitted development up to a metre. If it's further, but if it's not adjacent, and this is where you come into difficulty, is what you call adjacent or not adjacent. I would expect it to be at least a metre back if it was to try and be permitted development. The fact that you've got an application means this. We haven't accepted this as permitted development.
Well, I propose refusal.
So we have a proposal to refuse. We need a planning reason, Council.
Because it exceeds the permitted development. It exceeds the metre.
Sorry.
It exceeds 1 metre in height.
Yeah, but
it's not permitted.
If it didn't exceed a metre in height, you wouldn't be here tonight. It's because it's more than a metre in height, you've got an application. The fact that it's not permitted development isn't a reason to refuse it. You've got to consider the application.
In that case, it's out of keeping with the area.
Do you have a seconder for the proposal? Councillor, beg your pardon, sorry.
Your back is stuck. Short festival, I do apologise.
No, sir. You were just adjusting yours.
Mr. Chairman, I very rarely come on the planning committee, but every time I do, this application seems to be on it. And I have to say, we've got to make a good decision on this. You can't keep coming back. I think we've had a good proposal there. The metal fence, take the restrictions out that can cause a flooding issue, and let's move on.
And is this a clarification point, Councillor?
Yes, it is in a way, Chair. I'm just asking if that was adopted and voted on. Maybe I could ask, or we could ask John, what the implication would be for the existing close quarter fencing that remains in sight, subject to enforcement. Would that have to be removed?
The existing fence will be the subject of an enforcement notice. As I've explained before, we can't require it to be removed, we can only require it to be reduced and not exceeding a metre in height.
Which is why, that's why I suggested it was replaced, this railings, if approved, these railings replaced the existing fence.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Trogan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and sorry for sort of asking a question we only have, but could you look back to image 5, John, please? Can you just explain, are those the houses that flood, so it's downhill that way?
Yeah.
And so the Bunsey side, so the water just runs down the roadside and then goes in that drive and stuff.
Yeah, can I just go back to...
Can I also ask a question of Jill, because I know she'll know. So is that new drainage?
No.
That's not new drainage. Okay, thank you.
And the house that you're talking about goes right down. It's not actually, it looks as though that's sitting at that level, but it's got the floor below it, so it fills.
Thank you.
The water comes from the higher ground to the east. It flows down towards Redhill Road, and then it goes along the road. And as I understand it, before the fence was there, some of the water at least would go through.
And is there a way to make him keep the rails clear? So hence no buns the other side. Is there a way?
No. So that's not part of this application.
Councillor Cooper?
Yeah, just to clarify what I was talking about earlier on. Image, image number two. Shows a lovely picture of a piece of awful fence and a horrendous wooden fence and a metal railing fence, which is obviously not part of this application, it's adjacent. But when you look at the option of the metal railing, it's considerably better than that. Obviously the key thing, I think, that, well, it seems to me we're talking about two things. One's the aesthetics of the metal fence, and two is the risk of flooding. The metal fence, in my opinion, isn't going to increase the risk of flooding no more than a drain cover in a gutter. What is the bond. So I would propose, so long as the entire stretch is the same, the metal fence, the replacement, and not just part of it and left, you know, which is the enforcement left with the wooden fencing that's there. And the bond is removed to allow natural drainage.
And I'll second that.
I don't think we can tell them to remove the bond.
There's two things here. First of all, that fence and the gates, they're not, the gates there aren't railings. They're it's kind of a mesh type thing. But that's about 2 metres in height in any case, so it's higher than what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But the gates and the fence there aren't within the application site. I don't think they're within the applicant's land either.
Yes, but from an aesthetics point of view, when you compare that with what's proposed is...
So I thought you were saying replace the whole thing with railings,
no,
but
no,
you
no,
can't
that,
do
that
for this.
The concrete posts and the fencing that's gone up goes part of the way up the hill, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So the whole stretch should be...
That's what the application's for.
And that's what the application's for, plus the removal of... Just to ensure that's the case. Plus the removal of
just to be clear,
the fence.
The bond.
The railings are proposed for the whole length of the applicant's land, i.e. up to the corner of the land where that fence meets it.
Yeah.
38 metres or thereabouts is currently that fence,
yeah,
and the remainder is open.
Yeah.
So the proposal is to put railings on where the fence is and on the open bit.
Okay, Councillor Hobbs.
I think the open fence is okay. It would be great if you put some hedges back as well, wouldn't it? But I mean, that's going to be up to him, it's on his land. And I don't think the open fence will increase the risk of flooding. But can't the enforcement be to remove that fence and the bund? Because that's what's causing the problems. We can't just say, we've got to take that fence down. It's taken the concrete out from underneath and it's still flooding, so it's obviously the bund behind, isn't it?
Mm.
So, have we got any enforcement rights to remove that bund? So that's ridiculous, isn't it? Because it's, it doesn't matter what fence he puts there, if he's got a hill behind.
Under permitted development, you can construct a wall, fence, or other means of enclosure up to a metre in height and it's adjacent to a highway or 2 metres in other cases.
Somebody needs to talk to him, don't they? He's making people's lives a misery downhill.
Yeah.
That
would
help.
So, can I come to Councillor McKeown first?
No, yeah. You go first. Sorry, I was just going to say, so I'm a bit baffled now, because if there was no fence there at all, it was just the hedgerow, the existing hedgerow, it'd still have flooding because of the bond.
Yeah.
Therefore, the fence also almost becomes a moot point. If we're talking about flooding being the issue, the issue is for perhaps the environmental officer to request some sort of culvert or whatever, remove that bond to allow the natural runoff that used to happen.
Just common sense.
Which to me, yeah, it is.
Can we not? Yeah. Councillor McKeown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with everything Councillor Cooper has said. The metal railings, I think, replaces metal railings that were there previously, that will be somewhat, was it derelict or falling apart, or whatever. So the railings have been historically on that site. And we don't make those railings today, presumably, if they're cast or forged or whatever, but this is the nearest to that you'd probably get today. I don't understand why the bummed is there. And that is the sticking point, I think, for all of us. The railings are a long way better than what we started with that pillar and the gravel board a few months ago. So I don't think the railings are an issue. The bund is. Why is the bund being put there? Has it been requested of the site owner that the bund is taken out? Because it seems to me the first question to ask is, if you want to have planning permission for your railings, here's the deal. You take the bund out, or at least you put some gaps in the bund, which we call grips.
Grips.
Which allow the water to discharge back onto the field. So it seems to me, yes, planning permission, but get the bund sorted out beforehand. And in, I would then say, refer it back until that bund is... issues addressed.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Gubson?
No, I'm quite happy now, Chair. I'm quite happy to second what Councillor Cooper put forward. And,
was that a proposal? Sorry,
Councillor. No, through you, Chair. I've got a note that refusal has been moved and seconded.
Right.
I was going to query.
So we've got a proposal that's refused. What was the reason for it?
Well, I've got a note that somebody's out of keeping the area, is what I thought.
Well, I'll withdraw that in that case.
Okay, so that's been withdrawn.
Well, I need the seconder to withdraw, as well as the mover. Seconder of Councillor Hood.
Councillor Hood.
So you're withdrawing that, so there's no motion then.
Okay. We'll just take Councillor Beattie's point and come back to you, Councillor.
Can I just ask a question about flood risk assessment? Ward members made the point that there was no flood risk assessment, it wasn't considered necessary. Is it something that would be possible to do, and would it be useful? Because what we are doing is pitching around on the basis of what we think we know, but we haven't had an expert view on it.
So, if I've understood right, basically Councillor McEwen's suggestion, I think, is to indicate to the applicants that the committee would be prepared to approve the application if the bond was removed. Is that my understanding?
Well, if that makes a difference to the flood risk assessment.
Well, I'm just trying to understand what we're saying first, okay. So the bond isn't part of the application, but yes, if you defer it, there's no reason why we can't go back and ask the applicant. But he would obviously want to know what the committee were going to, you know, if he says he'll remove it and then you go and refuse the fence anyway, then he clearly isn't going to remove it. So that's why I was trying to understand what.
Yeah. I've got a few people who want to speak.
I just wanted to second that proposal.
You said seconding?
I'm seconding. Yeah. I think we've based the sense.
Right. But if we just go back a moment. I'm not asking you to make a resolution, but are you minded to approve the railings if the bond wasn't there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That is the proposal.
Right. Okay.
That is the proposal in second.
Yeah. Well, so are we thinking, are we thinking defer to get to...
Yeah, in which case you would be better deferring it for us to go back to speak to the applicant on that basis. Yeah.
Can I just ask Councillor Nixon, who I think was next?
Yeah. There's an enforcement order going to remove that fence, is there?
No, to reduce the height of the fence to a metre.
Well, would it not be better to proceed with that enforcement order? And it might encourage the applicant then to go ahead and remove the bond, because if that's going to be left as it is, he's going to be quite happy to leave it like that, isn't he?
The enforcement notice is proceeding in any case. So, you know, it may well be that we're able to observe it next week, or you know, we're in that kind of time scale.
Because there's no incentive at the moment for him to do anything if that's still there.
Well, you also need to bear in mind that the applicant has the potential to appeal an enforcement notice, so, you know.
Is it a point of information or something?
It's a question for clarification, Chair.
Thank you, that will do.
The resolution that I've heard, I think it was proposed and seconded, is it implicit that in putting up railings, the close board fencing would be removed?
Yeah.
Because is it implicit? I mean, it's a serious question.
Well, the plans refer.
Yeah.
Let's get to the plan in a minute.
Is it a condition?
It is the application.
No, sorry, Councillor, I don't think that's true. This is one of the points I was trying to make. I think it's very loosely phrased. It's not a condition. Mm-hmm.
It's a point worth clarifying because we need to know.
Refers to it as replacement, and given that the location is in the same position as the fence, then you would have to take the fence out to put the railings in.
Surely not two fences. Surely. No, sorry, not move on the.
Can you
sorry, not? Chair, through you. He may not move on the railings application if it suits him better to retain the fence, which would be less expensive. Which is why I was suggesting it's a condition. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Councillor Cooper.
Yeah. I mean, just to clarify, I think I said it in my comments earlier on. I was asking that it is the whole fence and not just somebody else saying the same thing, not leaving what's there now and then metal railings the rest of it.
No.
It is. And that is that. So this proposal we're talking about here, the reason for deferment, if that's the correct terminology, is that to clarify that it is the whole 38 metres, is it, of fencing is going to be metal, that the bund can be removed and then as part of the project.
So you're saying the committee is mindful to approve it after the bund's been removed?
Yes.
Is that what we're talking about?
I think you've got to be a bit careful here. Yeah. You mustn't fetter your discretion to consider this next time.
I can't hear what you're saying.
Sorry. I think you've got to be careful here. You mustn't fetter your discretion to consider this next time it comes before you. And clearly, when it comes back, obviously only members who've considered this today will take part because you've debated so much. I'm just concerned about saying, because you're not saying you're minded to approve, it's predicated, you seem to be saying, on him removing a bund. Well, in planning terms, I don't see the justification for that. I completely understand the concerns that have been raised, but just strictly in planning terms. So we could defer it to enable officers to go back and have discussions with the applicant about the bund. I'm just thinking that John and I could try and put together something members would feel would encapsulate what you're looking for.
So legally we may have to defer it rather than make a decision today.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like so far I haven't got anything on the table to make a decision.
Can I cast a Trowbridge just speak? She's been waving her hand frantically.
Thank you. I was going to make the same suggestion. I'm sick to death of seeing this here, I'm sure you are, John. And I think we all agree that the metal railing will be better than that wooden railing once seen through, albeit not as well as people want. Yes, the first choice we have is remove the lot and put back the hedges, but it's not our land. So to get the metal railing, we have got to win, as far as I'm concerned, anyway. And if you can go back to the applicant and say, yes, we'll approve this, but we do expect to see the bund gone.
I'm not
saying you have to remove it. I'm saying we would like to see it removed, because then there's no enforcement issue, you don't have to come back to us, because in real terms we've got nothing to say no to this now anyway. And so why bring it back to us again?
I understand what you're saying, but I think George's right, you have to be careful how you deal with this. And why I was asking for an understanding was that not for me to go and tell him that yes, you'll approve it or whatever, because you've got to make a separate decision on that. But I needed to understand where you were coming from in relation to the railings if the bond wasn't there.
But we have an, we have a proposal to accept it and a seconder, and so maybe
I think the proposal is to defer.
Yeah.
Oh,
To try and sum it up, we defer it to enable the officers to go back, request the applicant agrees to remove the bond, and then to resubmit this application saying we're removing the bond and we're putting this fencing up, and then see what's happening. It's one way of putting it. Another one is at the same time to have our environmental officer take care.
There are some things we can do that fall legally, and other things put ourselves in a very difficult
situation. I think through you, Chair, you could defer and ask and the planning officer to discuss and raise all your concerns about the bond and why you have concerns and ask them to consider doing something about it.
Yeah.
That is a reason for deferral.
Yeah.
We've got a Councillor Hood who I keep admitting
you
a big one.
Stone Festival this Saturday, the newsletter. I'm sorry, I've not got an official one.
All right, fine, okay. I've seen this, yes. We've all had one. I thought that was your point.
I just want to bring it to your attention that the reason that the gravel boards and the fund were put there was to stop, quote, wild animals and predators from going underneath the fence. So.
Hedgehogs.
They're vicious, I've heard they're vicious. You know, he's purposely built this bund. I can't see us being able to persuade this gentleman to take the bund away. And you've only got to look at the design of the railings with these spiked patterns on the top. It's a divide. This is my kingdom, my private kingdom. Those are your council houses, there's the road through the middle. And it disappoints me greatly that we don't have the confidence to go back to him and say, get rid of your bund, get rid of the gravel board, fencing, and then come back. And I don't care how many times this comes back to this planning committee. And I have to say this, the fact that there's been no flood assessment is grossly neglectful. And I just wonder if we'll have some kind of legal challenge at the end of all this.
Can I just say maybe that my question about that hasn't been answered. Well, I was going to bring that.
Page 14 of the agenda. Bottom of that page and the top of page 15. Gives the lead local flood authorities comments in relation to the proposal. The first comments are the 31st of March 2022, and then secondly the 11th of May 2022. So this has been considered by the lead local flood authority who are responsible for surface water drainage.
Yeah. You're not supposed to speak actually against it. I just mentioned it's at the chairman's discretion, and he's been very discretionable.
Thank you very much for bearing with me, Chair. I agree with what John just said, but I'd point out that the same officer has contradicted himself several times over the last 2 years, and I read out two quotes from him.
Oh, I suppose we really have to take what's written there now in today's application. So, I think it's been suggested that we defer it. Rather than spend any more time tonight, where we can agree, we seem to be agreeing that the bund's in the way, as it were.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot we can do about it legally, so maybe we go back to him and say it's been deferred. But this has been going on, as you say, for a long time. And whilst Jill said you can come as often as you like, it's fine. We'd really like to resolve it. And this man has done some things. I'm not suggesting they're the right things, but we've gone back to him in the past and he's done things, he's moved this, done that, and the other.
Proposal to defer then?
Yes. Yeah. We have a proposal to defer. We have to sit with. All those in favour of... Sorry, do you want to speak, Councillor?
Please, I mean, the thing
thing is, if we defer it and it comes back, the problem will still be that one, won't it? And it won't get resolved here, will it? It can't be resolved in the planning
committee. I mean, the other thing is, I'm not a legal expert, as you know, but it is on his land. If he wants to put a bund on, I mean, that's... No, we can't say to, as we'd love to, but saying to this, take that bund away and you can have plenty of it. We can't say that. So all we can do is defer it. Go and have a look at what he's doing and maybe talk to him privately or whatever. I don't know, I've no idea. But we can't make a decision. All we can do is, the only decision we can make is to defer it and see what the planning department can come up with. So we need a vote. Go. Sorry, John's got it. Thank you, John.
Can I suggest that my interpretation of what Councillor McEwen's suggesting is that you want to defer the application to enable us to seek clarification from the agent of the relationship between the railings and the bund, to clarify, which will then clarify his intention in relation to that. And then you will have the knowledge, you reconsider the application, of what is going to be there after it, once you've determined the application. So that way you're not taking a view either way on this. We're going back to the applicant with a straightforward question.
But I think if we come to the point where we're considering and objecting to his application, we need a planning reason, and the planning reason can't be the problem. In the why it's been deferred, you can give our twist our minds to something.
Of course, the other strings of the board to change is the fact that this meeting is recorded, the applicant can listen to the debate.
Very true. I'm sure he will.
He'll be riveting.
Yes. Right, so we have a proposal and a second. All those in favour of deferring the motion? Yeah. So, Caroline, you abstaining or objecting?
I don't want you to defer it.
Okay, then it's passed, so we will defer it. Thank you for the time on that. So we now have one other item on the agenda, which is the appeals. We have one appeal, which is the 21-34448 HOU 6 Manor Farm Barn, Shepherd Road, where the appeal has been dismissed. Any comment on it, anybody? Good. So the next meeting is planned for the 6th of July. Do you know anything about that? So the 6th of July, thank you, Councillor, for coming in. So the 6th of July might not take place because there's only one application.
6th of
July should be the next meeting. But yeah. Thank you, Mr. Lodge.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we've closed the meeting and we'll stop the recording.